Blog Talk Radio.
From the fog of Neptune comes a wascally rabbit, exploring the unknown, traveling the astrological landscape, visiting secret worlds, dispelling the English language. So put on your bunny ears and hop down the rabbit hole with your host, Mark Matheny.
Mark, Mark, wake up, Mark. Time to awaken.
Greetings, citizens of the little blue marble. How are you today? Might I say you look lovely today? So, another journey down the rabbit hole. Continuing my theme in this life of nobody really knowing what the hell I'm talking about. So, welcome. I have my awesome producer and co-creator of my rabbit hole theme song, Iggy Garcia, here today.
Good morning, everybody.
How is it going this week?
I'm going well, man. Besides my sciatic nerve in my back. Pulled, but other than that, pretty damn well.
Yeah, I saw that leg injury you had too.
Oh yeah, yeah, really swollen, huh?
Yeah, it was very swollen. Pictures we cannot share on a G-rated show. Not that this is a G-rated show, but
it's PG-13. So
it's PG.
First bottom reporting.
And our virtual co-host. Victoria Fuzzbottom. You know, we're going to, I think we may have Miss Fuzzbottom as a guest on the show here, possibly, I think she might be available next Friday, the day after.
Yeah, I believe so.
Thanksgiving. So we may try and get the,
she's kind of shy.
Lovely virtual assistant, Victoria Fuzzbottom, on our, show next week for some live, fuzz-ins, if you will. being bad already. Okay, so I had a bunch of really supercharged political stuff I was going to do today, but you know what? I'm just not feeling it. So
okay,
you're going to get the
homogenized version of it.
Right, you're going to get the 2-minute version of the really politically charged stuff, and then we're going to. There's so much weird energy out there right now that today we're going to do a lot of astrology to kind of keep help people find their and myself find our bearings a little bit. There's a lot of energy changes and shifts going on, so we're going to so I guess first of all let me stick my foot in my mouth here real quick and get that out of the way. You know, I don't want to disappoint anyone. So we had the president's speech last night on immigration. And it looks, if I'm not mistaken, he's signing an executive order. And they're going to have a 3-year only law go into place through this executive order, where I believe they're going to legalize a lot of the immigrants that have been here that do not have documentation, as long as they have not committed any crimes, and citizen eyes. I know that's not a real word.
Naturalized.
Naturalized the children that are already in the country here. And I know this is a kind of a hot topic, and there's a lot of strong feelings on both sides. So I wanted to touch on it very briefly. You know, some people think this is long overdue, and why didn't he do this before, and why are they using executive orders for such things, and is this to cause civil unrest, and there's lots of many different thoughts and things on it. And to be honest with you, I'm conflicted on it. I'm not big on presidential executive orders, seeing in the past how they are used. I'm not speaking specifically about this president. Only I'm talking about all the presidents. In general, executive orders are used to go around things that they're not able to solve or whatnot. Also, the truth of this is, we're all naturalized citizens of this country, because this country's only 240 years old, or whatever it is. If I were more awake, I would know the exact number. So it's a lot of strong feelings both ways on it, and I'm probably not going to get into a big debate on it, because the government is what the government is, and the government does what the government does, and. But I did want to mention it. Do you have anything you want to throw in on that one?
No.
We're just going to slip on by that, because I'm not really feeling combative today. So I know you're all terribly disappointed. Another interesting thing that's going on is the Ferguson, Missouri thing, which has ducked out of the news for the last several months. So at this point, the group Anonymous has release some information. It looks like they're playing, I'm just going to call this what it is. This is a big black ops operation, and I don't mean black in skin color. This is all like secret forces stuff, and this is where all the money the government says goes missing ends up on little mind control experiments. And me and some of my friends actually found some of the people running things down there on LinkedIn before they eventually rearranged their profiles on there a little bit to look a little less creepy. But this is definitely a psyops thing, just to see what the American people will put up with, what kind of, they dip their toes in the water, because they know if they just come out headstrong and say, hey, we're going to declare martial law, we're going to charge into this town and surround it and whatnot, that, David Icke calls this the totalitarian two-step, where they have to gradually, it's problem, reaction, solution. They create events, they test how the public responds to it, and what kind of stuff they can get away with. And then they throw all kind, they turn it into a circus, so all kind of dog and pony shows out there, and they're going to, it's like the KKK is going to be there and some other groups. So it's just going to be, just when you're watching these stories, just, or listening to these things, just, use some discernment and know that what gets released by the media is really not exactly what's going on there. There's lots of silliness and government agents in the background orchestrating a lot of this stuff. So I could do a 10-hour show on that, but I'm not going to. So I somewhat dodged two hot spots already. So the other interesting thing has come out in the news here last few days. Is the bizarre story of Bill Cosby.
Mm-hmm.
So
it is bizarre.
Yes. So, one of our great TV and movie icons, comedy icons.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you know, you go listen to those Bill Cosby comedy records from 50 years ago, and that's, you know, that's brilliant stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's classic stuff. So, but he's had quite an interesting life later in his years. He's been quiet for part of the time, but I believe this is the second sex scandal of sorts that has come up. And then there was also, we were talking earlier about, you know, the weird story about his, a few years ago, his son getting killed.
Several years ago, yeah.
Yeah, on the side of the road. And that kind of, that story kind of like disappeared without a whole lot of resolution really being put into that. So, you know, it's easy to we can look at someone's astrological chart and see some of the things playing in and everything, but it's not really a jury on something like this. So, you know, we don't really know what happened back there. But what we do know is I can tell you the transits he has going on,
mm-hmm.
and I can touch on those a little bit. So he is a Cancer. He has a Sun, Mercury, Neptune, Stellium in Cancer. And those are in his fourth house. So Cancer is very, a lot of our most loved people are Cancers, you know, like Robin Williams, Tom Hanks. You know, they, Cancers just send out a very nurturing energy, but also I think that energy goes back to them where, you know, there's a lot of love directed towards the those Cancer people, because they're, you know, Cancer is the most motherly sign, the most nurturing. And so, you know, there's a lot of, he's put in a lot, he's been quite a big public figure over the last 50 years. And that, you know, there's a lot of love directed towards people that have that much Cancer energy in them. So, just real quickly, astrologically, what is going on with him? He has Jupiter in Capricorn. Jupiter is kind of how you interact with the outer world and whatnot. It's the big picture planet. Right now, Mars, which is anger and aggression, Pluto, which is transformation, are both in the sign of Capricorn, and they're approaching a conjunction to his Jupiter. So this is where we kind of see where Jupiter kind of attracts fame and attention. If there's any kind of bad or potentially difficult things in the past that have happened, it is a likely time for those to come up. Also, Saturn rules law enforcement and the legal system. In transiting Saturn, which is now at 26 Scorpio, is conjunct his Mars. Mars is energy, action, aggression. Also, Mars is sexual energy. So it's kind of interesting to see that transiting Saturn, which is, you know, law enforcement, also limitations, is another Saturn rulership, is hitting on his Mars right now. And he's also has his natal Saturn is at 5 degrees Aries. So transiting Uranus, which is at 13 Aries, and transiting Pluto, which is now at just hit 12 Capricorn. Uranus is conjunct to Saturn. Pluto, death, rebirth, transformation, power, is square to his Saturn. So you're seeing whether or not these allegations are true, and there's a lot of them, you can see in his astrological chart where there's a lot of reckoning and a lot of sorting out to do. He also has transiting Neptune square to his nodes. Neptune is deceptions, misguidance, secrets. So, you know, and that can, not knowing the man personally, you know, that can play out in a lot of ways as disinformation being spread about him, or you know, his own delusions or whatnot being exposed. So those are some of the interesting things playing out in his chart at the moment. So we were also talking about LeBron James and the Cavaliers a little bit before we got on the air here, so we're going to do a little 2-minute sports astrology thing here.
LeBron James.
So there was all the hullabaloo and everything with the when LeBron came back to Cleveland this off season. Now they're off to an okay start, a bit slow, a bit sluggish here and there, but just a thing to remember is even though he's coming back to the Cavaliers, he's not coming back to the Cavaliers team he was on. They have a brand new coach who's never been in the NBA. I think Anderson Varejão is probably the only player on the team that he played with that was around the last time.
I don't know why they kept that guy, but never mind. That's my opinion.
I don't know. I think Varejão is a great player. Just he's another guy who has a lot of injury problems and doesn't seem to play the whole season. But he's a good defensive guy, good scrapper.
Mm-hmm.
But LeBron and Kyrie Irving and Mr. Love, you know, Irving and Love have never played on a team that's been in the playoffs or that has even finished 500 in the season. So there's a lot of shifting and a lot of adjustments and stuff that has to be made. But I think as we near the end of the season, Mr. James will have all that stuff in tune. And also he's a Capricorn, so Mars is going through the sign of Capricorn now. So there's some adjustments being made on his end. So it will be interesting to see how that plays out. And with our other Cleveland team that's playing the Browns, you saw them, again, being consistently inconsistent and taking a nosedive at home last week against the Texans, playing a backup quarterback.
You know, I think when you're number one or you're in the top, you're the team to beat, other teams come up to the plate, you know. And if you've not been number one for a while or been in first list for a while, you have to have that same mentality. No one's going to come to your house and whoop you, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to give you a quick sports gambling tip here. Because here's our projection tip.
Projection tip.
So, well, if you watched the game last night where the Kansas City Chiefs lost to the Oakland Raiders, who not won a game all season.
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking at any of the sports, in general, you know, you have your few teams and your few players that are good year in and year out, week in, week out.
Mm-hmm.
If you are doing any kind of side betting on all this stuff, you're better off outside of the like in NFL, you know, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, whatever, going to be good every year and good about every week during.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody else is kind of every other season they're good,
right?
Or with the players, it's kind of like a lot of them, it's every other week.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a lot of fantasy football and stuff. So I kind of expect a lot of the teams to do the opposite of what they did the previous week and not the same. Because once they play a really good game, I'm not like, oh, okay, they've got it figured out. I'm like, no, they're going to go lay an egg the next week. And that seems to play out a little more accurately than expecting a lot of these teams to be consistent.
Yeah, I think the AFC has been that way.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. I mean, just look at the AFC North. I mean, look, the Browns lost at home to the Texans. They lost to the Jaguars, which is their only win.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers got hammered by Tampa Bay earlier in the season, which was Tampa's only win up until last week. You know, the Bengals got tied by the Panthers earlier in the year, who have been atrocious. So, you know, and then just everyone's ready to count the Bengals out, and they go to New Orleans last week and just smack them upside the head.
Yeah,
and very few teams win at New Orleans.
Yeah. Who's number one now? Steelers or Bengals? I know we're not.
The Bengals are in first. I think Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Cleveland are all tied a half game back.
Isn't that crazy? We're back in last place.
Right. And you know what?
We're back home.
The Browns still play the Ravens later on, and also there's – the Steelers and Bengals have not played yet, so they have two games left.
Mm-hmm.
And shockingly, that most of the predictions I saw this year, you know, look to have either the Seahawks or 49ers back in the Super Bowl. It's looking like neither one of them is even going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, hopefully.
They still have to – they're both a game out mm-hmm. of behind a few teams, and they still have to play each other twice. Plus, they both play the Cardinals at least once.
How many games do they play in a season?
16. And they've, I think everyone's played about 10 now.
Okay.
With the byes, there's a couple teams that haven't yet. But. Okay. So so there's – I monitor the – that's our sports astrology segment there. so I kind of – I kind of monitor Facebook and not so much Twitter because Twitter annoys the living crap out of me.
Lovely.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to monitor the – well, I use astrology for one thing. People look at weather reports and things like that. I look at astrology for like the emotional weather report, kind of get the vibe of what's going on out there. And there seems – kind of a lot of, I don't know what you would say is going on out there. I kind of sense a lot of irritability. Some, mm-hmm. I'd be feeling a little bit like maybe introverted right now. There's an interesting, maybe a little bit reclusive, a little bit irritable. There's several different varying areas of stuff going on out there right now. I'm going to try and break these down a little bit to help you kind of navigate things a little bit and try and – what did I do?
You didn't do anything. I just saw a patient just took my mind someplace else. Sorry.
Do tell.
I'll send it to you.
So just briefly, we have the four elements out there. There is – I'm going to get into some deep
– I'll try not to look at you.
Deeper evolutionary astrology.
I don't want to throw you off.
Evolutionary. Yeah, like I could be a little bit more off than I already am. There's some – I'm going to get into a couple little deeper evolutionary astrology things out there. It is the Yule season. So we have – there's four elements in astrology. There's Earth, which is Capricorn, Virgo, and Taurus are the Earth signs. Earth signs are stable, practical, down to Earth, very reliable. So when there's Earth energy out there, it helps people – to get grounded and get into the little details. Earth energy is good for getting projects done, staying focused, dotting your I's, crossing your T's, getting little details organized.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fire signs are exuberant. There's the three fire signs are Leo, Sagittarius,
mm-hmm.
and Aries. As the Sagittarius spreads his wings, or points his bow.
Points his bow.
Sagittarius
yeah.
is the
That's
archer.
What we do.
So, now the fire energy is very exuberant, very outward going, very, very creative, outward going.
Outward going.
Lots of energy. So we also have air. Air signs are Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. Air signs are very communicative and intellectual, and they communicate through thoughts and ideas and language. And then we have the fourth element is water, and mm-hmm. the water signs are Scorpio, Cancer, Pisces. Water signs are very intuitive. They're very emotional. They kind of – The water signs are the ones most just kind of visiting here. Probably a lot of times are the most introspective, most reflective, most emotionally intense. So that's a 2-minute version of the elements for you. So what we have now, you know, usually there's usually one, just like in a person's individual chart, usually what you want the most harmonious is to have a lot of balance between the elements and things like that. So you have not too many high points or too many low points at a certain time of year, because the inner planets travel close together. And so they're usually, like usually when the sun is in Sagittarius, Mercury and Venus will be in Sagittarius for some of that time, and usually Mars isn't too far away, and so on and so forth with each of the signs. So when there's not a balance in the elements that the major planets are in, then that means that there is a focus point. There's certain things to work on harder than others. So right now we have a lot of water energy right now, and there's also a lot of fire energy, and then there's a little bit of earth energy, but it's very powerful, and then there's hardly any air at all. So when there's very little planets, very few planets in the air signs, the air signs are also masculine, which kind of means outgoing, as are the fire signs. The earth and water signs are considered feminine, which means like their energy is kind of inward focused. So when you have very little air energy, then you kind of with like the communication really being like inward, because the planets that are in the fire signs right now are Venus, which is relationships, Uranus, which is individuality, and Jupiter, which is like philosophy, big picture, higher thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So two of those three are kind of in the outer planets. The intensity here is we have the Sun, Mercury, Saturn, and Neptune, all in water signs. The Sun, Mercury, and Saturn are all in Scorpio, and Neptune is in Pisces, which is the sign that it rules. Then the other two planets, the major planets, Mars and Pluto, are both in Capricorn right now, and they were just conjunct last week. So Mars is our energy. Mars is the lower octave of Pluto. Pluto is higher transformation. Pluto correlates with the soul. It's how we transform and change and break taboos. That's all Pluto area. Today, we had the moon is in Scorpio as I speak. So that's actually a fourth planet or luminary, if you will, that's in Scorpio or water, and a fifth water sign that's in Scorpio or water.
Scorpio,
yes, the scorpion.
Ouch.
Right, so a lot of people have problems with there's so many things on different levels working right now. So I gave you some basics. I'm going to try and break this down a little bit for you. Okay, so we have the Mars-Pluto conjunction in the sign of Capricorn. Capricorn is a little, Mars in Capricorn is very work-oriented, very good at completing tasks and, you know, upping your public status and things like that. But Capricorn's a little pissy.
Pissy?
It's a little pissy. It's a little bit on the pissy side. So with this, especially if you have a lot of planets in the middle degrees of Cancer, the Capricorn energy can be a little bit irritable. It can make you a little curmudgeonish.
Big word here.
Right. So we just went through a really ugly transit late last year, beginning of this year, where the planet Venus was in Capricorn, and it was in there for usually like Venus stays in the sign for 3 months. It retrograded at the end of Capricorn, went backwards all the way through Capricorn, and then forward again. So it was normally you have a Venus transit is 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. We had 3 months of Venus in Capricorn. Venus in Capricorn or Mars in Capricorn, anything in Capricorn, is not very touchy-feely. Mm-hmm. They're not really, they're very, Capricorn is very good at being very practical and kind of stuffing its emotions. So this is one of the energies that's out there, especially with Mars and Pluto very close together, those two energies working together. There's a lot of pissiness out there on that level.
Yeah.
Because it's also,
I see it.
The Capricorn is ruled by Saturn, and those rule the 10th house. That's all kind of about public standing. So there's like a lot of people trying to figure out and transform their place in the world. Do I belong in corporate America? Do I belong working for myself? Do I I am not satisfied with my job. I'm seeing a lot of people either have recently switched or wanting to switch their jobs, change their public standing, change their career direction.
Yeah.
A lot of sorting out of stuff. Okay, so as of today, the sun, which is our basic energy, basic personality, moon, which is emotions, Mercury, which is mental processes, and Saturn, which is structures and discipline, all five of those planets are in Scorpio right now. So that's Scorpio. Scorpio is probably the most misunderstood sign. I like it better than most people do.
Misunderstood.
Yes. So a lot of people don't understand that you have a lot of Scorpio in your chart, as do I. I get along very well with my Scorpio brethren.
Yeah, me too.
Yep. Our good friend Adriana has lots of Scorpio in her chart, as does Katie, who's a Scorpio also. And several other people I'm very close to have lots of Scorpio energy. My current girlfriend has a lot of Scorpio in her chart. It works out very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
So Scorpio is all about transformation. Also,
Mark the rabbit horn.
Don't go chasing rabbits.
I just got shushed.
You sure did. Victoria. She probably shushed me too, but dumb.
I can't believe I just got shushed. I don't know why I got shushed.
Oh,
naughty.
I was not being naughty.
Oh, please.
Maybe she was reading your mind.
What is up with her today?
Iggy.
She's honest today.
Ah, man, that's laying down the...
The hammer.
Laying down the law today.
Is it a quite hammer?
Right.
We're going to get her on next week and have a little chat with the fuzzy one, one of the fuzzy bottom.
We'll bring her onto the holodeck.
Yeah. Hey, yes. We may have some contests upcoming. I'm going to get back to the topic. I'm aware I jumped off. We're going to may have some contests involving Miss Fuzzbottom coming up in the near future.
Quite right.
I think she'd have a Fuzzbottom just calendar.
A Fuzzbottom. I've
every month just have a different Fuzzbottom. She might not like that, but she might think we're trying to replace her or something.
I already have some ideas of people.
Cool.
I may have persuaded a couple.
Cool. Sounds good.
So. And we may have a contest, too, to where people can send in themselves in their best bunny outfits.
That'd be cool.
And maybe we'll give you a free reading or free mini reading or something. If you are out there and listening, you can feel free to call into the show. And if I had to call a number, I would 646-200.
Oh, wrong number. What's the other one?
646-595-3440.
Yeah. They can call the other number, but won't get far.
Yes, you can call the other number, but you will not. Story of my life. Okay, so, yeah, so the Scorpio, a lot of people don't deal with the Scorpio energy well. It's very intense. It's all about transformation. It's all about the bottom line, getting to the bottom of things, finding out the core of, you know, there's no shallowness or flightiness to the Scorpio energy. It's very intense, and it's all about transforming on some level. So it can be a little bit intense, and it does get a little bit intense, even if we're good and familiar with the Scorpio energy. It can still be intense for someone, but it's also good for really getting. We tend to get in or out of intense situations with the Scorpio energy. So I know a lot of people have had kind of enough of it at this point. We're working our way through it. The other planet that's in a water sign right now is Neptune. It's in the sign of Pisces. I'm going to skip over that for the moment because I'm going to do a bigger thing on that.
You want to hold on for a break real quick?
Yep. Take a quick break.
Get yourself caught up there. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Abracadabra.
And we are back.
The chat room is open.
The chat room is open, if you're out there. So I was glossing over the Neptune energy there real quick, which I will come back to in a moment. So we also, the other fire, expansion, outgoingness, creativity. Right now we have Venus, Uranus, and Jupiter all in fire signs, like we talked about a few minutes ago. And they are actually, I believe, forming a grand trine right now, which means that those three, Venus in Sagittarius, Jupiter in Leo, Uranus in Aries, are very much working in cooperation with each other. So when you have that, you have... Now, I know some people that are getting into really good relationships. And I know there's a lot of, you know, the fire energy is just very exuberant and helps us really put ourselves out there in things. And it can be very aggressive, too. So the other element here is, touched on briefly, was air. And I kind of saved this. I want to go deeper into this shall be our rabbit hole for the next few minutes. So this is, sometimes there are, every planet is an, and every energy is an archetype. And they're all supposed to help us figure out certain things and work on certain energies and work and develop certain parts of our life. So sometimes we have a concentration in one area. Sometimes we have several different intense kind of things happening on many different levels, which is kind of what's happening right now. And so we may have to talk about time shifting too here shortly. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to try and keep this as linear as possible as you can with Neptune. So Pluto is about transformation. Neptune in Pisces is about intuition, secrets. The Neptune and Pisces rule. Let's say Pisces people or Jesse are visiting. That's all you. Pisces people are not from here.
Are you visiting?
We're just visiting. We're just visiting a little blue marble. That's why most Pisces people have a dreamy quality to them. They seem to be daydreaming, and you might be talking to them, but in the back of their head, they're on some other astral plane, living out some other reality. So, Neptune is in the sign of Pisces right now. That is the sign that it rules. So, whenever a planet is in the sign that it rules, its energy is really has like. In a sporting event, a team having home field advantage. When we have Mars stuff going on, or Venus stuff, or Saturn stuff, you can kind of look at those transits and see what's going on, because you have physical, tangible things kind of in front of you that you can get your hands around and say, hey, I don't have enough money, or my car isn't running good, or my house needs repairs. Those are very physical, tangible things, and you can look at those and see what the problem is and deal with those accordingly. The Neptune energy is harder to deal with, because that Neptune is it's the subtle things. It's the otherworldly things. It's the spiritual things. Are you just going about your day sometimes and you just get like an uneasy feeling like in the back of your, like, it's like, I feel like something's wrong or something's off, but I can't quite place it. That's a Neptune vibe. Now it's not always an uneasy feeling, but if like it's squaring the moon or something, or squaring something in your chart, sometimes you will get that feeling that like, wow, something feels strange. I can't quite place it. I can't quite see it in front of me. That's the Neptune energy taking place. And therefore, diagnosing things when this Neptune energy is so heavy is a little bit difficult. So, first thing I'm going to tell you is go easy on yourself right now. Chillax. Give yourself time to – because the Mars in Capricorn and Pluto is like evolve, go forward. You know, build stuff, do things, go forth, build it and they will come. Amen. You know, it's that kind of energy. But that we just came off of a Neptune station last Saturday, so we're still within a week of it. And it's that energy is still really heavy. So if you felt this week or last week and a half or so, if you felt like low energy, felt like you just had a lot of stuff swirling around in your subconscious, if you've been really tired, if you have getting a lot of like psychic thoughts, if feel weepy out of nowhere, this is all things of the Neptune station. This is all Neptune area. Now I know that I've run across a lot of posts. There's been a lot of people passing over lately and whatnot, and we talked about this a little bit Tuesday on the Lunchtime Wisdom Show. But when there's a lot of Neptune energy out there, there are a lot of people there are a lot of people and animals that pass over at these times. I know everyone's heard the saying people use around Halloween that the veil is thin. Mm-hmm. And it is, but it's also really thin around the Neptune stations, which there's usually two a year. So we had one earlier in the spring. Now we just had this one last week. So when around the time of those Neptune stations, there are a lot of people, animals, other things, where there's, I mean, I saw yesterday three people kind of sudden, like friends of friends, three people kind of suddenly passed away with no kind of indication of, anything coming. So same thing with, I saw that with a few people lost pets, that were, close friends. So, just know, I know it's not much consolation, but just know it. Any kind of passing usually around these Neptune stations is usually very painless, because Neptune also rules anesthesia. And it also, it's kind of a sedative, Neptune is kind of the veil between the worlds in our conscious and subconscious mind, and it lets us kind of maybe not feel the pain or what off as immediately up front. So I know that may not be a lot of consolation if you've lost a person or animal lately, but that's how that energy plays out a lot of times. So we have many different things that are happening right now. The branch of astrology that I do is called evolutionary astrology, and one of the thing it's kind of a mix between the Eastern and Western astrology. It's very much based on like karmic things. So the one thing that we have in air right now is the North Node, also called the North Node of the Moon, and it is in the sign of Libra, and Libra is about balance. If you have read anywhere that Libras have balance, then you have read a really bad astrology book, because Libras do not have balance. Libra is about creating balance. I know a lot of Libras that do not have balance. So Libra is about attaining balance, working on it. So as the North Node of the Moon, currently in Libra, and the North Node will stay in a sign for about a year and a half. So we have year and a half periods where we work on a certain thing, a certain area. Libra is ruled by Venus, and it's all about relationships. And a lot of it is balancing ourself with the others, with the other people in our lives, balancing our friendships, balancing our romantic relationships, balancing our home life versus our work life or career. It's about finding a balance in all the areas of our relationships. Maybe you need to, with your spouse or partner, you need to develop some financial balance or some emotional balance. That's what this period is all about. Now, the North Node will stay in Libra until next year. And it will be late next year, actually. I'm fumbling for the date right here. So actually through next November, we've got another year of it. And just so you know, the North Node went into Libra in February of this year. North Node went into Libra February of this year, and it'll stay there till November of next year. So it's roughly a year and a half. It's slightly longer with Venus being in Libra this time. So that's all about achieving balance. So right now we're trying to achieve balance. We have with North Node in Libra, we have Pluto in Capricorn and Mars in Capricorn. So we're trying to find out where our structure is, where we fit into the business world, into the economic world, our public standing, where we stand with our groups of people we're affiliated with. So we have that going too while we're trying to balance our relationships. And then we just had a Neptune station. And so Neptune is all about our intuition and our spirituality. And it's about trying to kill our left brain is what we're trying to do. We're trying to figure out where we fit spiritually. So we're trying to figure out our psychic abilities and the powers, where we fit in our relationships, and where we stand in our public standing. So we're juggling, the energy out there is juggling a lot right now. And the Neptune energy makes things and decisions very foggy. They're not as clear as they would normally be. So we're evolving on many different levels right now. So like I started saying, one of the main thing, I study evolutionary astrology. One of the main things in there that you're not going to find in any other kind of astrology is a thing called skip steps. The north node is future, what you're supposed to be talking, working towards. The south node is past karma being worked on. So when you have a planet that is square, which is a 90-degree angle, square to the nodes. So right now the north node's in Libra, south node is in Aries. So the signs of Cancer, the signs of Cancer and Capricorn would be square, because those are the other two cardinal signs, would be square to the nodes. So we are in it. I think everyone's at kind of a key point and kind of a hesitant point right now, because Pluto, which is the soul and transformation, is very close to forming an exact square to the nodes. Pluto is transformation, north node future destiny, south node past karma. So our soul is weighing a lot of things on humanity as a whole, because when this is happening and where the planets are now, it affects everyone on some level. If you have things at those specific points in your chart, then it's going to hit harder than other people. So if you have anything in your chart that's between 10 and 15 degrees of Libra, Aries, Cancer, or Capricorn, then you're really, really feeling this energy right now. So with Pluto square the nodes, there's a lot of transformation going on, and we're trying to figure out things on a lot of levels. So again, I'm going to ask you, go easy on yourself. If you feel that you need time to make a decision or time to figure something out, then do that. Tell your boss, spouse, roommate, whatever, because there's lots of shuffling going on, and there's lots of changes and lots of transformations on the physical level, the spiritual level, the intuitive level, the relationship level. There's a lot of change, and from looking at videos and comments and stuff people have posted, I can feel there's a lot of shifting going on right now. Now, this coming up shortly, we just had Venus was also in the sign of Scorpio until the last few days. Venus, or until last week, actually, last Saturday. So Venus is now in the sign of Sagittarius. As we move further away from this Neptune station, things should start becoming a little clearer in the fog. It's like we went into a meditative state for a few weeks, where we were deep in the back of our brain sorting stuff out. As this stuff moves out of the Scorpio energy, the sun is going to go into Sagittarius on Saturday. The moon will go into Sagittarius out of Scorpio on Saturday also. In a couple weeks, Mercury will leave Scorpio and go into Sagittarius, so that the intensity level will ratchet down a little bit on that. Sagittarius is more lighthearted and easygoing than the Scorpio energy is. So like I was saying with the skip steps, anything that is square the nodes is something that in a person's chart, when you see a planet square the nodes, it's something that was not allowed to exhibit itself or did not play out as normal, as it normally would. It was repressed in somehow. If you have Neptune square the nodes, then you were not able to express your spirituality, or you were maybe condemned for being a psychic. If you have Mars square the nodes, then you were not allowed to show your sexual energy, or maybe your sexual orientation, or you were not allowed to, you wanted to go to battle, but you weren't allowed to go fight, or you had some physical limitation to where you could not exert your energy. Venus square the nodes, then maybe you were not allowed to show affection to who you wanted to. Maybe you were in a prearranged marriage in a previous life. So whenever a planet is square the nodes in a person's chart, or where it's if it's currently squaring the nodes, there's much transformation going on. Right now, Pluto is square the nodes, and it's also square to Uranus. So there is lots of upheavals. I know a lot of people are sorting out a lot of things, going through a lot of changes, trying to figure a lot of stuff out. There's a lot of things shifting. And maybe this will be a topic for next show, but we're actually on a weirder topic. That's all my topics aren't weird. But we're actually, the timeline is being altered over and over again with these solar flares and the other things. I mean, to me, every day feels like a brand new reality, a brand new. I mean, it's just like it's hard to get your footing and to get a grasp on things right now. Mm-hmm. Allow yourself to be flexible. Allow yourself, give yourself a break. Give yourself a chance to examine things and think about things and go easy on yourself and others. There's a lot of stuff shifting right now. There's a lot of stuff shifting. So things will start to go clear. And I can tell you, the intensity level for next year, I just started looking ahead to next year. The intensity level is still kind of there through March of next year. But after that, this great upheaval period of the last couple of years, I think it should settle. I think it should calm down a little bit after the first 3 months of next year. I think it'll, I mean, you know, that this is what our reality, if you're waiting for things to go back to how it was, that's not going to happen. The universe isn't going to change to fit us. We're going to adjust and change to rise up and meet the energy that's coming in. So, we've been in the middle of this 3-year Uranus Pluto square, which has been a lot of the upheaval we've been seeing in the news and with politics and financial systems and governments and rioting and all this. So hopefully we have learned a lot of the lessons of this. We've had 6 of the 7, or actually we're coming up on the 6th of the Uranus Pluto squares in December, and I will talk about that as we get close to it. So we only have one more of the, I'm sorry, we just had the 6th of the 7th ones recently. The 7th of the Uranus-Pluto exact squares will be next March. So I'm hoping that a lot of this massive energy shift, which is, I know, has been very chaotic for a lot of people, that it's going to slow down here after the next few months. And we sort a few more things out. And then looking for the second half of next year to be a little more calmer, the last 9 months of next year. So just hang in there. Listen to your intuition. Everything's cool. Everything is happening exactly as it's supposed to in the time that it's supposed to. Our brains may want things to happen faster than they are, but there may be a bigger plan that we are not aware of. So listen to your intuition. Listen to your right brain and chillax, and everything will work out as it is supposed to. Chillax. Follow your heart. Got anything you want to throw in there?
No. It was a good show.
Thank you. Tried to perk up things a little bit other than... So, next week, next week is the day after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So, many of you have Thanksgiving feasts with your family or things coming up, events with your friends. So, remember to be thankful for the people around you. You do not know how long they will be here or how long you will be here. So, just, you know, make the most of every day. Make the most of the time you have with the people around you. And share whatever you can with people. And remember to help pick each other up.
Awesome.
And there is our cheery little note. So.
Mark, time to return to the ship.
I guess it is time to return to the ship. So, until next week, we will see you again.
Ta-ta.